In winter, Joelle was the only person along the creek who used her outdoor clothesline. She liked smoothing the sheets so they hung broad and white. Later, she would drape each one over a door inside the house so it would dry properly. Here in the high country, washing never dried completely on the line. You had to look on the bright side. The washing stayed clean, at least. Her birth mother's house was near the Pyman Junction's quarry, and the washing got covered in grit. Those flannel sheets of her mum's were so old and faded, Joelle couldn't remember what colour they had been in the first place. No grit blowing in from Moonscape Hills here. In this garden, the air was sweet and clean, like the cool water running in the creek. Beyond the garden was the rainforest, a damp cathedral of fragrant myrtle and sassafras, sprawling mosses and ancient lichen. The forest rose up and around Vanishing Falls Valley like the walls of a giant fortress. The first time she came to Vanishing, she didn't think she would like it so much. There was only one road in, a narrow set of hairpin turns cut into the mountain above a churning river. Looking down at that water unsettled her, and she wanted to leave. But past the cutting, the road meandered through hilly green pastures where black and white cows grazed, past pretty weatherboard farmhouses with splendid man ferns out front, hedges and rose gardens. Looking on the bright side was something her foster mother, Darla, had encouraged her to become good at. Darla also liked to say, "You've coped with worse and you will cope with this." She said it when Joelle found a kitten but couldn't keep it because Darla's husband was allergic to cats. If Joelle told Darla what the man in the bathroom at the fair had said to her, she would say either of those pieces of advice. Joelle could just hear her. The year Joelle turned 15, when she moved to Darla's sunny house in Launceston, she had finally learned to read. For hours and hours, she had sat beside Darla on her pretty yellow bedspread reading aloud from the illustrated readers. Joelle's husband, Brian, had learned to read before he even started grade one. He was a businessman. He belonged to the Chamber of Commerce and Rotary. He knew the geography and history of the area, even things that no one else knew, like why the pretty estuary at the edge of the Lily's farm was really called Murdering Creek, not Hollybank Creek like the new sign said, and why everyone in the car had to be silent each time they drove past it. Brian had a hopeless brother who lived way up north in Cairns. On the illustrated map in the twins' bedroom, Cairns was a small speck at the top of the Australian mainland. It was decorated with a picture of a palm tree and a rainbow-coloured fish. Beside the town, the ocean was dotted with tropical islands. That was the end of the line, Brian often said, as far as you could get from Tasmania without needing a passport. Brian's brother had a drug conviction. Brian hated drugs so much he had not been able to invite his brother to their wedding. Luckily, his sister Nikki hated drugs too, so she was allowed to be a bridesmaid, and because she had never worn a dress in her life, she wore a nice three-piece suit. If Brian had seen what Joelle saw at the fair today, he would report it to the police. Questions would be asked. Brian would be distressed if he knew the answers to some of those questions. She stopped pegging the sheets, frightened at the thought. Darla had lots of wise words. Joelle repeated some of them. Some things are meant to be kept private, especially from an intelligent, respectable man like Brian. You mind your own business and people will leave you alone, her foster mother had said. It was true. Brian was an educated man. Even so, Joelle knew more about some things than he did. She knew it would not be smart to tell him about men doing illegal activities on school grounds. You had to look after yourself first. That was common sense, life experience that counted more than any high school test. She turned around and saw him standing on the back doorstep, looking down at her with a soft smile. He cupped her face and kissed her softly. She hugged up against him and they stood there looking up at the vaulted branches of giant black wooden sassafras trees in the rainforest. The rain had stopped hours ago, but the sound of running water was everywhere as tiny waterfalls sprang out of the forest and bubbled into the creek.